Happy New Year. I am trusting God that He is going to bring His abundant blessings to us as He plans our future for 2019. Could you do me one favor, and would you turn to the left and to the right, and would you say, "This is going to be a great year for the Lord." Do it again. This is going to be a great year for the Lord. And I'm going to be praying that way. Can you say that? And I'm going to be praying that way. Happy New Year. In this wonderful body called the church, Jesus has given us a very distinct celebration. It's called communion. Many call it by another name. Some call it the Lord's Supper. Communion is this. It is a time of sharing what we have in common. And you know what that thing is that we have in common? Those that know Jesus Christ have accepted Him by faith. Jesus is our salvation, just as we have just sung here. Communion is participation in a relationship with God. We do this together. Communion is a group of believers sharing one common belief. The Lord's Supper is a wonderful event in the life of a believer. I looked up the word wonderful, and these are the words that describe that word. Breathtaking, amazing, astonishing, fantastic, brilliant, great. And I wrote this little sentence out. Well, it's actually two or three sentences here. It's breathtaking that God has sent His Son to die in our place as a sacrifice to atone for all of our sins. It's amazing that Jesus demonstrated this communion celebration in person with His disciples. It's fantastic that the disciples were there firsthand witnessing this astonishing new covenant that God put in place through His Son, Jesus Christ. So one of the things that we're looking at today is we must prepare properly. When you arrived at church today, everything was prepared for you. The heat was set at a comfortable temperature. Thank God for that. The sanctuary has been vacuumed. The stairways, the landings, the sanctuary, the chairs have been straightened. Bulletins have been printed. The nursery has been set for the little ones. Children's church leaders and teachers have prepared their lessons in their classroom. Servants of the Lord have done everything to make this a blessed day. Our communion table right here in front of you is set in these simple elements. A matzah cracker and grape juice have been prepared for you to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And what I'm alluding to is very simple. If we're going to do something right, if we're going to do anything, it needs to be done correctly, and it always requires preparation. Take surgery, for example. I want to thank Mike Adams for this illustration. I've added a few things to it, but take surgery, for example. Many of us have experienced that, and thank God for it. An amazing amount of preparation takes place long before the patient ever arrives to the operating room. The operating room is cleaned and sterilized. I know this because I worked in the hospital, and I had that job, and I know how difficult it is to prepare. So the operating room was cleaned, it's sterilized. All of the surgical instruments have been sterilized. They've laid out for the doctors and the nurses. Surgeons examine the x-rays and the MRIs and the CT scans. Doctors scrub up with antibacterial soap. And doctors and nurses and the anesthesiologists, they put on sterile clothing called scrubs. Each are wearing sterile gloves. The anesthesiologist and the nurses, they literally overwhelm you with questions. Nurses start the IVs. The anesthesiologist puts you to sleep. They continue to take vital signs as the surgery takes place. Aren't you extremely thankful that they have taken such efforts to prepare for your surgery, aren't you? Amen. So to do things properly, we must prepare. This is not going to be a long lesson today. It's going to be straight to the point and extremely simple. There's an old saying about carpenters. They measure twice and they cut once. A good carpenter always prepares himself for the job. to properly observe this ordinance, this thing that we call communion, the Lord's Supper, this communion meal, this celebration, this remembrance, it should never become so familiar to us that we just go through the quick motions. Oh, today, it's the first Sunday of the month, we're going to have communion. We do that. Sometimes we move it. It disrupts your calendar a little bit and sometimes your mental process. But I want to read these verses again. So let's go. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writing this, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remember that. I'm going to make a comment on that. And that is very, that little phrase is very important. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Before we participate this morning, we must prepare ourselves. Always prepare ourselves. To do so, we need to take some time to examine our own actions and our own attitudes, and you can do this as I'm speaking. But I want you to do this. You can be confessing your sins, and we're going to have a time later on as we come to the table when you can do this, because sometimes we hold back. We're afraid to have these frank conversations with God. We're afraid to tell him how we feel, how we think, how we really are. Because I know some of you today have barely made it here because you're struggling with life. I know some of you here today have gone through extremely deep loss. I know some are struggling with finances and children and medical issues. And you know what? We hold all of this within and we're afraid to tell God, you know, I feel alone. I feel that you've left me. I feel that I don't know if I can make it anymore. We need to confess those things to the Lord. We need to talk with him and let him fill us. Let him meet with us. Confession is not fashionable today. It's not fashionable at all. But ask God to show you your sins. Take a look at that verse. David said this, and this was after he had sinned. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit. Correct me, Lord, and do this within." Ask God to show you your sins, your hidden faults. Each one of us, we have this unusual capacity to deceive ourselves. If we're not careful, we could sin on autopilot. We can. And we can sin without even knowing it at times. Ask God, I'm serious now this morning, ask God to take the plank out of your own eye. Now, John Wesley had a comment that I found that this is, I read this to my wife last night, and I didn't plan on putting this on the screen, but we decided to this morning. And this is what John Wesley said. Now, this is written in 18th century English. "A little dust will disorder a clock," he said, "and the least little bit of sand will obscure our sight. So it is the least little grain of sin which is upon our heart will hinder its right motion toward God." There are two specific things that confession does for us. Two specific things. It relieves us from our guilt, and we receive God's forgiveness. And I want to add a third. You are not going to see this on the screen. But the third thing is this. We're less likely to sin in the same way in the future. Confession is good. So communion, number one, it's a memorable observance. The disciples were the firsthand witnesses of the first communion, as well as the crucifixion. It would be impossible for them to forget these events. We always remember the events that lead up to a loved one's passing. We always remember. It would have been impossible for them to forget Jesus. Remembering fills our heart with gratitude. After the crucifixion, this is what took place. We know that they were up in the upper room because, you know, they were hiding because they were scared for their life. They were outnumbered 1,000 to 1. They were at war, literally, because they were the enemy. Their leader had been crucified, an enemy of the state, and no wonder they were in the upper room. But they were praying. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and this great voice and this great noise awakened them, and they heard a voice, and God moved them. And you know what? After Jesus' appearing to them, they became obsessed with proclaiming the message and salvation of forgiveness. Number two, communion is a symbolic observance. The symbols of the table are the bread. The matzah is unleavened, and it symbolizes, it represents the unleavened bread that the Israelites baked before the Passover. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus took all of our sins upon himself, all of them. 1 Peter 2:24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, by the wounds of Jesus Christ, you were healed. We really need to think about that. We have been healed, not physically, but spiritually. When we believe, when that faith is placed in Jesus Christ, we have been healed. Jesus took our sin, yours and mine, all of them. It's hard for us to comprehend, on himself, on the cross. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed to secure our redemption and to cleanse us from sin. Mark 14:24 says, "And he said to them, 'This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many.'" Number three, communion is a continuing observance. Let's go back and look at verses 24 and 25 and 26. We read these nearly every time we have communion. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Look at verse 26 specifically. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see, if you know Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. But what is taking place here is this: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Jesus said in these other verses prior to this, he said, "Do this." It's written in a present imperative, which means keep on doing this now and into the future until he returns. This is a continual observance. Keep on doing this now and into the future. And this action requires our faith. And communion is, it's a church, it's a body observance. The communion supper is rich in significance. It's a practice that we celebrate within the church with a body of believers celebrating the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate his love and we celebrate his forgiveness. Look at verses 29 and 30. "And you've heard me read these for the last 23 years. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself." Please, today when we take this cup have already had your conversation with God. Tell him those things that we talked about, and there are things that I haven't even mentioned. Tell him you're estranged from your children and you don't want to be. Tell him that you're lonely. Tell him that you're struggling and you feel that he's left you. This action demands faith. We must be careful not to become careless as the Corinthians did, because you see what happened to the Corinthians. That is when many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. You've died. New Living Translation has a better take on that. They died. They died an early death. I've had a lot of physical issues. You know them. Many of you have too. But I want to be viable until God takes me home. And I know I can do that in a lot of different ways. My grandmother only went to third grade, but she learned how to write. And you know what she did? She sent me a card nearly every month until the day she died. For years, I kept them. She always went and got me cards that had Helen Steiner Rice poems. And she always wrote a nice little letter of encouragement. But you know what? The last 5 years of her life, she was in bed. But you know what she did? She encouraged me. She also sent me $5. But she encouraged me. And she loved me. And she had a strong faith in God. And she knew from the time I was about 10 years of age when I gave my heart to Christ, she knew that I was going to be a pastor. And she never let me forget that. This action that we're going through here, it demands our faith. But we need to be careful, not become careless as the Corinthians did. You see, my grandmother didn't become careless as her mobility diminished. She continued to serve. She also would call me on the phone at least once a month. You see, there's a lot we can do. The Corinthians forgot all about this, and they were dying. I thought I was going to end here, but I want to go continue on. And I want us to grab some reasons that we are to give back to the Lord. We're receiving today, but I want to share with you three reasons that we're to give back. Number one, we have the gift of salvation. Jesus paid a ransom price. I want to read this to you. This is from from Ephesians chapter 1. Actually, I put this in the New Living, so let me read this from my notes. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united in Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Listen, even before he made the world, God loved us, and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son, and he forgave our sins. Jesus paid a ransom price for us. And that ransom payment removed us from the curse of the law. It also removed us from the bondage of that penalty of sin. And it moved us into the freedom of grace Jesus gave. You know, why do we give back? Because Jesus gave. And I believe this morning that I'm correct. I believe that many of us hold back right here in this issue of confession. And I believe many of us hold back in using our gifts and giving back to the Lord. Why do we give? We give in light of the cross. Reason number two, we have the gift of his presence and his friendship. I want you to look at these phrases here. They're in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John. Actually, let's back up. I want to read verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But first, before we go into the phrases, I want to share a little song that we have sung here in the past. And it's too bad that I didn't ask our worship team to do this today, because this would have been a great ending. I didn't think of it. I thought of it just now. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. That's at him. Let me just go through the words with you. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. Now, think about your own face. There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. And the chorus goes, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings that God has given us, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we've been revived when we shall leave this place. Now, 1 John 1, 9, the verses that I just read. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number one, he's faithful. Jesus is dependable. He's trustworthy. He's just. Right out of that verse, he is just, he's fair, he's impartial. Through confession, and this is where we get this, you see, to forgive us of our sins out of the verse there in verse 9, through confession, there's this great power that is unleashed within us when we confess. And then there's a hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Not only do we have the promise of Jesus' presence, we have the promise of his friendship. He offers to bear all of our sins, all of our grief. Think about that. All of your grief. Why do we give? We give in light of the cross. Reason number three, we have the promise of his second coming. In verses 24, 25, and 26, I ask you to pay attention to that. It says here, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, we're to keep on doing this celebration today and into the future. Present imperative, keep on doing it. Whenever you drink this bread and eat and drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Every time we come to this celebration, every time, we are retelling the gospel message of redemption. Matthew 26, verse 29. Matthew's gospel tells us that our Savior and our King is coming. He's going to return. Amen? Amen. It could be today. And I know this for certain. I do. I know that Jesus' return is one day closer than it was yesterday. Chuck Swindoll said this. You see, many times we think that communion needs to be done in a church. He said, the place of our communion celebration is not important, but the condition of our heart is. Ask God right now to emphasize the areas of your life where you need to seek change. Don't hold on to it. Release it. Don't hold on. Think through your life, where you are right now. Because God's looking. He knows your heart. Give God every compartment of your heart. And I want you to remember this. The reason that we give back to God, the reason that we confess is because we give back to him in light of the cross because of what he's done for us. Well, that's our message this morning. And we're going to come to the communion table in just a few moments. But I didn't pray this morning. I did that specifically because I wanted to pray at the very end of our service. Excuse me, my message. Father, please open our hearts today. I know that there are all sorts of reasons as to why we feel that we just are unimportant to you. We feel that you've left us. I know that we struggle. And there's finances and there's health and there's family and there's all sorts of issues. Father, I've referred to them through the message. But let us take these moments to think through what you have done. We've just celebrated the gift of Christmas. And because the wise men gave gifts to your son, Jesus, we celebrate by giving gifts to one another because we love one another. And Lord, we love you. And this morning, we want to give ourselves to you. So it is so, so important that we release every compartment of our heart to you. Gracious Father, whatever we have brought into this room, as the book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 37, tells us that we're just literally to lay this at your feet and leave it there. That's hard for some of us. It's hard for most of us. Lord, you've given us so much. Yesterday, as I went through my day, every single thing that I did, Lord, went in a different and opposite direction. It wasn't what I planned. But Lord, I felt that you were testing me in this new year. Some of us might be being tested right now. Lord, I pray that we'll just give ourselves to you. As I was sitting at the umpteenth red light yesterday, I said, Lord, thank you for this new year. And I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know why this day was so awful, or the day before, but I thank you for this new year. And Lord, I thank you for this test. May I be worthy. And Lord, might that be our prayer today. Might we be worthy of the test that you're bringing to us. Oh, Lord, we do love you. I pray that our heart, every compartment of our heart is open. Why do we give back to you? Because, Lord, we love you. Because we know that you love us. Because we know that you've given your son, Jesus. And you gave him for us and to us. Father, we thank you today. We're going to go through all of these things again in just a few moments. So, Lord, we have one more opportunity to come before you. For holding anything back, we still have that one more moment. Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate this memorable meal together. We pray, Lord, that as we observe this symbolic meal together, this meal of remembrance, this meal of celebration of our faith and our salvation, that, Lord, we rejoice in our forgiveness. We thank you, Father, because we love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.